It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Ooh, big entrance by the Who. Hello there and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have a very special guest, Dr. Chris Iyer. He has such an interesting background, graduating in medicine and surgery from the University of Bombay, completing his residency in internal medicine and neurology in India, and getting his doctorate in medicine there. Then further training in England in geriatrics and internal medicine, and it was in England that he became interested in diabetes while working in a diabetes clinic in Stevenage, England. I believe that's how it's pronounced. At the current moment, Dr. Iyer is the medical director of the Mary and Dick Allen Diabetes Center at Hogue Hospital. So if you've ever wanted to discuss your diabetes with a seasoned professional and a true expert in the field, this is your opportunity. Welcome to the show, Dr. Iyer.
Thank you very much.
Did I get that right? Stevenage, England?
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. I'd never seen that town before. Yes. I'm sure you had an eye-opening experience there.
Yes, it was an eye-opening experience and heartwarming experience. I learned a lot.
Good, good. Well, we're glad we've grabbed you here in Southern California. You've made a huge difference in so many people's lives. Now, we've gone over this before, but I think it's really important for people to still understand the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes and why it's so important to make a distinction between the two diseases.
Yes, type 2 diabetes is more common, usually seen in older people, but mm-hmm. increasingly being seen in younger people as well. Type 2 diabetes, there is a strong family background. Certain mm-hmm. People of certain groups, ethnic groups, are highly susceptible. Mm-hmm. It is also expected that many people with type 2 diabetes do not know that they have type 2 diabetes.
Which is type so tragic.
Type 1 diabetes, on the other hand, is usually but not necessarily seen in young people. Mm-hmm. It is usually due to the destruction of the pancreas and not being able to produce insulin. So the main difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetics are that type 1 diabetics will need insulin. Mm-hmm. Type 2 diabetics often do not need insulin, but they may at the end.
All right. So I also want to make this distinction. In type 1, the body stops producing insulin altogether, and so the daily insulin injections must be taken in order to survive. And, of course, usually that develops in children, but can occur at any age, really, right?
That is correct. Even though it is commonly seen in young people, in my practice I have much older patients with type 1 diabetes. But you're absolutely correct. Without insulin, it becomes a great danger issue. They must take their insulin, and they must not be without their insulin.
Right. And now type 2, adult onset diabetes, that results when the body does not produce enough insulin or is unable to use insulin properly. Is that correct?
Correct. In other words, as we grow older, if we change our lifestyle to more sedentary lifestyle, and if we do not have good eating habits, and if we have a tendency to develop diabetes, then you become a type 2 diabetic.
Okay.
There may be no symptoms in the beginning, and the person will usually, by the time he's diagnosed, has lost 50% of his pancreatic function. But mm-hmm. insulin resistance is also a condition that is associated with type 2 diabetes.
Now, type 2 diabetes, as you said, is increasingly occurring in younger people in this country. Why do you think this is happening, and is it also happening in other countries around the world?
Extremely interesting question. The answer to the second part of the question is yes. India and China will become diabetic capitals of the world by 2030 because
really?
Changing lifestyle. In this country, we are seeing younger people with type 2 diabetes because of predisposition and nutritional habits which are not as healthy as they should be, and lack of exercise.
Okay, so it is pervasive and worldwide as a problem. Okay, so let's start talking about some of the things that, you know what, before we talk about what we can do, let's talk about the symptoms. I'd like to get into, I'm going to name a few and then I'm going to have you add to them. First of all, the symptoms of diabetes include you're very thirsty, frequent urination, weight loss, increased hunger, blurry vision, irritability. And now some of the other ones that I didn't know about are tingling or numbness in the hands or feet. Is that common?
Well, it can be common, but those symptoms that you mentioned, Barbara, especially in type 2 diabetes, is much later. Symptoms may not be present at all. That's why I said many people with type 2 diabetes do not even know that they have diabetes.
Right.
When the sugar is high, then you get many of those symptoms. If the nerves are inflamed.
A person can live for years and not know they have the disease. Is that correct?
Correct.
I guess what happens is it comes on so gradually that the symptoms may not even be recognized.
Right. As the pancreatic function diminishes, as the lack of exercise and poor nutrition accumulate, gradually the pancreas fails. And during those initial years, people with type 2 diabetes may not get any symptoms. But people with type 1 diabetes, on the other hand, because the pancreas does not function, not producing insulin, they do get symptoms very early.
For type 1 patients, let's go over some of the devices that are now available for injecting insulin into the body on a daily basis. It is getting more humane, is it not?
Yes, it is definitely easier and better. Conventionally, type 1 diabetics are treated with insulin, and that insulin can be given through syringes. The needles are so small and tiny that they are not as painful as they were. There are pens, which are devices, which is convenient to carry. Mm-hmm. There are pumps which can be used to deliver insulin continuously.
Okay, so it's more like a mosquito bite or a pinprick rather than a needle.
Yes.
Well, that's a wonderful form of progress. What other things have you seen that have enhanced the lives of patients with diabetes?
The majority of the patients have type 2 diabetes. There has never been a time like it is now when we have so many options. Apart from the key element of the treatment, which is diet, exercise, and weight reduction, oral medications are available. There are medications which can prevent the appetite from getting worse. There are mm-hmm. medications which can make the insulin work better. And, of course, there is insulin. For type 2 diabetics, the options are plenty nowadays.
Tell us about some of these oral medications.
The conventional oral medication that one we usually start is a medication called metformin, which reduces the appetite and which also prevents the liver from producing glucose. Then there are other older medications called sulfonylureas, which are taken just before meals. Newer medications are available which prevent the destruction of insulin, called DPP-4 inhibitors. And there are medications which are injectable, which will reduce the movement of the stomach and make you eat less so that the control of diabetes is better.
Now, some would say, you know, all it takes is a little bit of willpower to eat less. What would you say to that argument?
While I would agree that all it takes is some willpower, but it's not difficult. In practice, I see all of us want to do, but some of us are not able to do what is necessary. I will never advise my patient that you do not have to exercise, just take the medications.
Right.
Medications in type 2 diabetes is an addition to lifestyle changes and not instead of lifestyle changes.
We all have somebody in our lives who we want to sit down and say, listen, take them by the shoulders. You're drinking 6 sodas a day. You're eating donuts, fatty stuff. When you go to the store, there's not a thing in your grocery bags that's living. It's all in a box or a can, you know, but, you know, the message is still not getting through.
That is true, but I think over a period of time, as programs like this come out and as people read and listen, I'm sure we will be able to improve the lifestyle and hopefully reduce the incidence of diabetes.
Okay, I tell you what, let's have you take us shopping. Why don't you fill the perfect grocery bag with food
yes.
for a type 1 diabetic, or, you know, a type 2 as well.
Okay, the perfect grocery for a patient with type 1 and type 2 diabetic is when you keep in mind the amount of carbohydrates you want to eat, because mm-hmm. after all, insulin works on carbohydrates. So try to avoid those foods which have a lot of fat in it, which have mm-hmm. more protein in it, and less simple carbohydrates.
Okay.
So depending on your culture, you have to include these three important components.
This has been the fastest 11 minutes of my life. I'm so sorry we are out of time. We are talking with Dr. Chris Iyer about diabetes. For more info, you can visit hoaghospital.org. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There is much, much more to come. A subject called diabetes and prevention coming up.